You know how well they did, Michael and David and Karen and there was Andrea from here, and the lady's name in the back, Rachel. Rachel was at camp too, and they seemed to just dive right into the camp and the experiences of it, and meet a lot of new friends. I was very pleased with that as the pastor. I was grateful for the opportunity to be able to see our campers there and how they did and thrived in that environment, and how the many staff members from Olympia and Tacoma who were there as well were able to contribute in amazing ways to help the camp to be a great experience. And backing up from that, we know that well before camp, many of you helped in the preparation for it with fundraising, to be able to make it possible to send more people to camp, to have the money for that, and to be able to buy some equipment and supplies for the camp. So as I come in new to the area, I'm very encouraged to see that there is a support for that next generation of faithful people who are already among us, who are growing up and learning God's way, and to be able to have the opportunity for camp. I know when I was 16 and went to camp way back in 1967, it was a turning point in my life. And we want to make sure that all of our young people have opportunities like that as campers and later as staff members, to be able to contribute again and give back to those who are even just a few years younger than they are. And so we're looking forward as a congregation to be able to continue our support of camp and maybe make sure that it's a high priority here in Olympia. Even though most of us are older than camp age, let me tell you, it's one of the best investments in the church. One of the best programs that I've seen in the church is to be able to provide that level of support for our young campers, but also for those who are the staff. And I think sometimes the staff members gain more because they are, most of them, in their late teens, early 20s, and they're beginning to serve in more and more ways and take on some leadership role of mentoring others and providing good things, leading spiritual discussions as well, and just giving many opportunities to serve in a setting that is very, very different than most of us have the opportunity to experience. Nancy and I had the pleasure and blessing again of being able to work with arts and crafts. In my work before being hired in the ministry, I was an artist and was able to provide for my family through the gift of art that God had given to me even as a youngster. And so I wanted to be able to bring to the camp a project that would help unify all of the campers and their counselors and a few of the other staff members. And so I've been working on an idea for a few years, and it was evolving. The first versions of it were far too difficult to do in the time setting we had at camp. But this year, we were invited again to do something for arts and crafts. And what I wanted to do was a work of art that would be made by individuals who would make a small part of it. But when it was all put together, it would be one complete unified work of art. And I want to show you that, if we have the ability to put up some photographs. And again, this is kind of a show and tell. The logo for our camps is UYC, United Youth Camps. And of course, this is the year 2015. So this is a full-size poster, about a little over 4 feet wide and 3 feet high, divided into 117 blocks. We came to that number by the number of campers and by the number of their counselors and a few of the major staff leaders there at camp. And so I got permission from the Home Office team to be able to use this logo, which is a copyrighted logo, and for the purpose of this piece of art. And it comes in colors. I was going to bring a roll and show you, but I didn't bring it this morning. But the colors of the U and the C are green, and the Y and the dot above it are blue, and the purple is just the date below. And so we divided this out, and as each dorm came in, we had them choose one area of the picture that they would take as their own and create from scratch. I think all of you that were doing it seemed to have fun at it. Actually rolling out clay. It's made with clay, no paint. It's all just different colors of clay. And they had to roll it out and make it into the right size and trim it for so it would fit within this mosaic. And then if there was color on it that matched the logo or the date, they had to first match that color in the correct position. And then they could decorate on top of it any way they wanted, because we wanted original art for every single one. Their name would be on their own piece. So at the end, each one could take their own piece home. It would be their nameplate for their desk or their door, and it would be a memory of camp. The idea was to help all of us work together to pull together to be one body, one united group of people there at camp together. And so I'll show you in sequence as the first dorm came in and the pieces were made and they began to fill in the blanks and take shape. Let's see, where do we turn the trigger? Somebody said point the trigger. Where do I point this? Up. Isn't that cool? I'm not used to this. I'm going to try to get used to it because here in Olympia and Tacoma, I see there's a lot more PowerPoint and different visual things. But see, by the second day, more campers had been in. And as it began to fill in, people began to get the vision a little more. It was like, yeah, I like that. I can take part of that. I can do something fun and original and interesting and bright. And so it just kept filling in through the day, through the week. Here you see some of the campers working at it, and each one would help those near them and encourage the ones around them. So we had staff members who were mentoring, not just me, not just Nancy, but we had a couple of young ladies who are also artists. One teaches art in school, and she was there to be able to help teach. So we spread it out so that it was a group of us helping and mentoring these budding young artists who were there to enjoy it. It begins to fill in more, and you see the colors are taking shape, but also the originality. I see one there, I recognize the cat. So that was one that we worked on together. And so the project kept growing until you begin to see it just fill in all the way. Look what we have here. A complete work of art done by 117 different people. And yet it's one big poster. It helped to draw the whole camp together and to make it so that the campers and their counselors were excited about being part of something bigger than themselves. And we were able to take pictures of it, which we hope would make it into some of the church publications, maybe for camp next year, for the camp magazine, to say, this is us. We're all individuals, but we're all together. We're all one. We're here together to enjoy what God has given to us. And so I was so happy and impressed with the campers that they all completed their work. And there's no gap in this finished piece of art. Everyone finished their work and was able to contribute in a very meaningful way. And so we see here a collaborative project. And beyond that, there were others in the area who helped with us too, before we even went to camp. So we see here the conveying of the vision, the starting of the work in the slides I've shown. We see how it grew through the week and by camper, dorm by dorm, until we come to the finished work. And What a great work they did. When it was all together, they were so excited, and all the kids were gathering around and looking at it, and waves of them would come through and look and see and point out what they did and look at their friend's piece and just feel better. And it did more than I had hoped it would, to share in the accomplishment of just a simple project. Now, where are we going with this idea on a Sabbath day here in our congregation? When I was transferred into Salt Lake City and later in Las Vegas, one of the early messages I wanted to give is what I'm giving to you now, and that is that we are one body. We are a congregation of people who are called to do something grand and glorious that is bigger than any one of us, but we all have a part in it. And that's the lesson that we can learn from camp, and you see the joy it brought to them. And I want to see that kind of joy in our congregation. And we're not making big mosaics out of clay, but God is making something big and grand out of clay, and we are that clay. And so the title of the message today is Every Part Does Its Share. And we're going to come to a verse in a little while that shows that. But I wanted to show you with that sequence of pictures to see how every part does its share in whatever the project would be. And then the completed work is something very beautiful. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 and think about where we're going as a congregation. We have an opportunity with a transition between pastors and their wives who have been here to help, and now we are here. We have an opportunity to continue the momentum and to go on forward. But in order for that to happen, there needs to be something going on in our congregation that includes all of us. It's not just the work of the pastor or his wife or the two of them together. It's all of us together, and I want to emphasize that because you'll hear me repeat this in various ways through the time that I'm here with you. In Ephesians 4, we're going to begin in verse 11. And of course, it's speaking about Jesus Christ, and it says that he himself gave some to be apostles. When we think of the apostles, we think of those who helped lay the foundation of the church. You know, there are verses that you know that speak of that foundation, which is the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, those visionaries who he gave great insight to into the things that would occur in the future. Many of those have already, and many are yet to come. And he says also some evangelists, those who would take this word and take it to the world and share it with other people, and some pastors and teachers. And so now here I have that great blessing and honor of being a pastor and teacher for you. But there's more. It's not about me, is it? It's about all of us. Why does Christ give in the church these helpers for us? And we read this, I believe, a few weeks ago. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Verse 12 is very important, and so I put this up as well. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. We all have something to do to contribute. There is a work that you need to do as well as me, as well as the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers who were before us or who are here with us now. It's for the equipping of the saints for the work of serving. And that's where I want to focus, because in the next years that we're together, I hope there's going to be a very good, solid, vibrant, growing congregation here, growing in spiritual maturity and hopefully growing in numbers of people as well. It says, for the edifying, or the building up of the body of Christ. Drop down to verse 16, and this is where we get the title for today's message. From whom, again speaking of Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And you see in that verse kind of a pattern. And we saw that pattern unfold in that simple art project at camp. We saw a pattern where people came in, the whole body joined together, they were knit together, because every one of the campers supplied something, something good, something beautiful, with their own name on it. It says, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. And working with clay is real work. You have to knead it. You have to roll it out. You have to think about what you're doing and make something on top of the surface of it and make it beautiful. By which the effective working by which every part does its share. Brethren, think of our own individual roles in the congregation. Every part does its share. I've been so pleased and blessed to have many of you send emails to me about how you serve. I needed to know how the congregation here and in Tacoma operates and how you've come to do things together to make it all good and decently done and in order. And many of you have responded and sent messages to me, and it helps me to get to know you, but it helps me to see the health of the congregation and even the needs that are there still for other things to be done. And so I want to congratulate you and thank you and encourage you for the service that you're doing and that you are contributing to something that is helping everyone else. But I want us to go beyond where we are now. I want us to think about how we might serve next week and next month and next year, and things that we might be able to learn so that we can serve in different ways and be mentored by those who are currently doing some of the things that we need in a congregation. In places where I serve, I like there to be layers of people, as I call it, who are able to do all the different things, so that if one person who might set up the sound system and help in some of the technology ways, if he were sick or wanted to take a break or felt overworked or needed to go to visit a family member who was sick or go to a funeral or just take a week off, you know, there'd be someone else who could step in and do it very well. So I'd like there to be mentoring going on for those who are doing these jobs to help others to learn to do them well. And I've seen it work beautifully, and we're going to try that here as well. Whatever, I'm sure it's been done, but we're going to make sure that in every area of service there is someone who can take the place when needed, to give someone a break or to step in when they can't make it. You know, sometimes even traffic will delay someone, and you can't get here on time, and everyone's waiting for the sound to work or whatever, or the piano or whatever it might be. And so we have worship service to conduct decently and in order. So we can do that with the help of each one doing their share. What happens when each one does our share? Look at the next verse, the next words under it. When that happens, it causes growth of the body. The spiritual maturity that's mentioned in verse 13 and 14, that kind of growth. We grow in our understanding and our knowledge of God and His plan and our place in it. We grow in ability to expound His word, to give an answer to those who ask us. We grow in spiritual ways as individuals. But we also see in the congregation the ability to have greater and deeper fellowship on the Sabbath day of those things which are spiritual in meaning. And I believe it also implies that there would be growth in the congregation, in the size of the congregation, in the number of people attending. Because God wants to call more people. And if we have a strong congregation that's running very well and people are serving, Sabbath day is such a wonderful opportunity to come and learn how to serve God and serve Christ. And we have that opportunity here as well. And it can be something joyful and wonderful. And look at it again. When you see, when everyone contributes, you have something bigger than any one individual. None of us could have produced this piece on our own. And yet, when it's all put together, it's a beautiful piece. It's got all the different colors and all the ideas and all the things there that it reflect the individual thoughts and intents of the ones who contributed. But look, it's also got the things that unify us. The camp logo, United Youth Camps, and the year we were there together. So those kinds of things, that's just a physical representation of the spiritual thing I'm talking about here for our congregation to be able to work together for some glorious future piece of art, if you will, that God is producing in us. We have the vision that Christ has given to us, that God desires a family, and he has promised to make that happen. So it's not just the blueprint of a small art project. It's a big, grand plan that God has. The vision of the kingdom of God. We have those who have come before us to convey that vision to us. The prophets, the apostles, Jesus Christ himself, and others who have taught us in our own lifetime, conveying that vision. And first to a few people, remember Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Ruth and Esther and those few people who had that vision early on. We have the promise that they could see afar off, and we have that promise of which they were assured and embraced. And brethren, if we're going to contribute our fair share, our part, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, so that his idea of a kingdom and family is complete, then we need to embrace it too. And we need to make sure that we are assured of it and understand it and live it and pass it on. And we can do that with his help, and we can do it together. And what is produced would be so much greater and bigger than any of us. It would be the family of God. In those promises, there was the coming of the Messiah, and that's already happened. Because of that, many other doors are open to us of things yet greater than those. Christ said, you will do greater works than these. And we are at that kind of work now, opening up a more full understanding of that vision. What is the kingdom? These are things that we'll be learning together. To provide for a way, when Christ came, he provided a way for us to attain it. Here's the vision, he says, and here's a way to attain it. And he is that way. And God gave us a calling to help others to know and to seek and attain to that as well. Look here in Ephesians. I want to read more verses in the same chapter. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, I want to pick up and see the context of what was here that we've read already. The Apostle Paul writes, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, if you haven't studied his life, you should, and see how he actually was a prisoner, and some of the books he wrote were while he was chained to a Roman soldier, and he was imprisoned for a couple years at a time sometimes. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We want to walk that way. We want to have a worthy life, a worthy calling, a way of attaining to what we were called to, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. You see how he comes to a relationship area and includes with each of us all the rest. And he goes on to elaborate on that in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Christ prayed that we would be one, there would be unity among us, and the Apostle Paul and others also sought that in their work, and I do in mine, that there is one body and one Spirit. See, we're not just individuals who are doing a little piece of work that will be our trophy for our lifetime. We are contributing to something much bigger, and we are just part of what is a very great thing that God is doing. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And brethren, that is so important for us to understand, that God wants us to be part of his family, part of the body of Christ, the church of God. But look at verse 7. It says this: to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace was given to you and to me. And that's where Paul begins to talk about that grace and how it is to be used in our lives. And he keeps the focus, though, on Christ himself. And verse 8 says, and it's because of the grace that is given to each of us, it says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, and speaking of the time when Christ ascended, he ascended back to be enthroned at the right hand of God. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What did he give to you? God gave to me the talent of being artistic in my thinking, in my work, my ability to see things that he has created from a different point of view and just pick out of it some beautiful things, hopefully to help other people. And it goes on. And these are complicated and very important verses here. And as time goes on, we'll study them more fully, especially around Passover, the Day of Atonement. Now this, when he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? And here, there's some deep meaning here, brethren, that Christ loves us so much, what he did for us. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And that's when he says, after our focus is fully on him, all he's done for us, where he is now, ascended on high, that's when he says, and he gave some to us to be our teachers and mentors and helpers, so that we might be equipped for works of service too. And so our being equipped is part of his plan that is so grand. It's set in that context of the future that is being planned for each one of us. To each of us, grace was given. A healthy and vibrant and growing congregation will be made up of people who know that they have been given gifts by God and that they should use them. And they have opportunity to use them. And they are encouraged to use them. In Romans 12, in verse 3, we read of this. Again, speaking of each of us, in Romans 12, at verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We have a measure of faith. What do you believe so much that it is for you a measure of your faith. We believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We believe that Jesus Christ is his Son, and that he came and died for us and gave himself so that we might live. Brethren, we have a measure of faith that's astounding, and it's a great gift to know what is there for us. And it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We are that one body in Christ, and what he is doing in us together is something wonderful and big and beautiful. It says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. What a good thing that is, that your gifts are different than mine and than other people. And we have the ability to serve in many different ways. Let us use them, it says. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. And there were those who God gave visions to in when the church began. In Acts 2, you could read this. And it says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And there are occasions, those special times when God has revealed something to someone in a way that should be known to the church. And so that's not very common. But it usually happens in great times of need within the church. Or ministry, and that could be serving in whatever way. How do you serve? How do you minister to others? How would you like to minister in a different and better way? It says, if we have that gift, let us use it in our ministering. There needs to be opportunity, and one of the things I like to do as a pastor is provide opportunity for those who would like to try something else, try a different way of serving. To be able to work with the sound or the food or playing hymns or singing special music or organizing events for the rest of the church to enjoy or serving at camp or whatever way. And I'm going to get to some more significant ways of serving as we go on. Having then gifts, let us use them. He who teaches and teaching. We have among us some who are good teachers. And I'd say to them, be the teacher that you can be to these young people and to these ones who are your peers as well in age. He who exhorts or encourages, this is a big one. You know, I think more could be done through encouragement than through correction. I think that most of us would thrive on encouragement, and it's such a rare thing. That exhorting is encouraging. I'd like to see in our congregation that we step up in that gift of encouraging. In exhortation, do it that way. He who gives with liberality, and among us I know there are those who are very generous and give, and to do it with liberality. He who leads with diligence, and that can be in any different area of service where we can lead and help, teaching the young ones, all sorts of good things. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. These are the kinds of gifts that build a congregation, that strengthen us, that help us to be healthy and vibrant and growing. These are the things that I think in Ephesians 4 is speaking of that we can do and love, and it helps and causes growth. Each one of those things that we read in Romans 12 would cause the church to be strengthened and to grow. When I asked many of you, or all of you, to send me a note of how you serve, I was very pleased. I wanted you to begin thinking in this direction too. This direction of serving, not just in one area, but that you're contributing to something big. That we're all doing something that's adding elements of growth to other people, helping other people around us, because it's actually serving Christ. When we serve in those small little ways, we're serving Christ. When we serve in a way that's a little bit bigger, giving a sermon is a little bit bigger, It's serving Christ. And so when we have those gifts, we need to use them to serve Christ by serving his people. Christ said himself that he did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life a ransom for many, it says in Matthew. Look in Colossians 3. And again, think of contributing to something big. Helping your part of the puzzle or the mosaic or the picture not to be blank, but to be able to contribute something that will be there and beautiful and help the whole thing to be more beautiful. In Colossians 3, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. When we serve, it should be with that attitude. And if we serve with that attitude, then our service will be pleasing to God, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Always, he points us to the future. The reward is there, that same promise that was embraced by the others before us. And it says, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I want this congregation and in Tacoma and Squim to be known for this, serving the Lord Christ. Each one of us can do so. God has given gifts to us all so that we may. Now, some people will say, well, you know, I can't do much. I've received letters from some of you saying, all I can do is this. And I'm thinking, what a great thing you've just done. What a great thing you're doing, and I cheer you on to do it more. And I can say that knowing it's true and right and good, because I read in Matthew 25 these famous lines which you know. Let's read them again, because it helps us to realize. And if you look at the picture on the screen, you'll see some of those blocks are more simple than the others. And yet, it's like an understated piece of the whole thing that's necessary for it to be complete. And some of the campers were wondering what to do and how to make a piece and how do I do art? It was strange to them, and they're not practiced at it. And their talents are in different ways. And yet, they all did something and contributed. And they might say, if they look at the individual piece, well, that's not very big. That's not very much or good. But look how it contributes. Look at how it completes the piece. In Matthew 25, in verse 34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, this is when he comes to set up his kingdom on the earth, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That big picture, that great and glorious thing that he's building that we all contribute a little bit to. For I was hungry and you gave me food. Look at the simple things, the ways of service that mean so much to Christ himself. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Actually, I'm thirsty now, and someone served Christ by putting a glass of water here for me. Thank you. I was naked, and you clothed me. There are times when we can help people one-on-one in these small ways, and that's really a significant way of serving. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in or naked and clothe you? They weren't doing these things because they thought it was Christ there. They were doing it because there was someone who needed help and they were there to give it and offer it. Expecting nothing in return. Out of love, serving others. Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, you can believe this And I've been watching, he will say, and I know your heart and your way you serve. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Wouldn't it be great to give Christ a glass of water? Or to give him some food when he's hungry? There are examples in the scripture of just that. The lady at the well, the young boy with a few fish that he gave to Christ, who then gave to the thousands. There are examples of these things in the scriptures. And so we see this example, we see it. So let's then spend a few minutes and say, what are some ideas that we can do to share on a spiritual level? Let's raise the bar a little bit. Not just with the physical serving that is necessary at church. What about on a spiritual level higher than that? And yes, the things we do to be able to help at services, those are good things, necessary things, and they do help, and they do provide a wonderful Sabbath setting for all of us together. And what are some things that would go beyond that? Let's look and see. I want to just mention a few, and then I'm going to give you some homework as well. Okay? In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 through 4, therefore, I exhort or encourage, first of all, this is the first on the list, that's why I chose this verse, that supplications, that's a more fervent kind of prayer, and then it mentions also prayers and intercessions, a different kind of prayer, three different kinds of prayer are mentioned here, and four, and giving of thanks. So four different ways of praying. For all men, for other people. And so this is something we can do in our service on a spiritual level. For kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Even for those outside the church, outside of our own body, we pray for them that we can have a peaceable way of meeting. It was mentioned in the opening prayer, I believe. Or was it the sermonette? For this is good, praying in these ways, praying for others. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. That's his big picture. He desires all men to be able to be part of his kingdom and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But that's one thing that we can do on a spiritual level together. You might look up different places in the scripture where it speaks of praying for one another and all the different ways and purposes for that. That would be a good study for all of us. It would help us to serve better in that way. To be able to do our share with every part doing its share. Okay, what's another way that we can prepare, or we can serve others around us? Let's turn for this one to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Some of these lessons, like we're going through now, they're really explained well in 1 and 2 Timothy because Paul was mentoring a younger minister and helping him to learn to be a good servant. And we can find then in here a teacher teaching a student on these particular topics. And so we see in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, and Paul is telling this younger minister that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is given to us by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now we know those things. We've heard that often, haven't we? Look at the next verse. The reason for that is that the man of God, or the lady of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to learn to be a better servant? I know you do. The way to do that is to study His Word. How did Christ serve? How did the apostles serve and the prophets? How did the people in Old Testament times serve? You know, we can see their examples and we can learn from them and we can see the way that God helped them and know that He will also help us. That we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, as you study the Scriptures, then you're going to make my job easier. Because remember what a pastor and teacher is to do? Is to equip those who he serves for works of service. And as we read and study the Scriptures, you're being equipped from what you're learning there so that you're just growing in those ways even when you're not hearing the minister speak. You're hearing the words of God right from the pages of the Bible and seeing it there and growing all through the week in your service to God by serving other people. That's one of the great ways that we can serve and grow. We do that, brethren. This congregation is going to grow. This congregation will grow in spiritual maturity, and I believe in the number of people who want to be part of it. And when they come to stay with us. Another way that we can serve on a spiritual level, sometimes without even talking to the person, we can serve by setting a good example. In 1 Timothy 4, in verse 12, again, this teacher teaching his students, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." In other words, all of our life, the way we live each day, the things we do and say, where we go, what we don't do or don't say or don't go, those are the examples that others will see around us. I was so pleased at camp to watch the campers and the staff and see their example and the desire to learn and grow and the way they just jumped right into the activities and made good friends and did so many things. You know, when you're in an environment like that, you can learn more about each other through the example, I think, than even through the word. Here at services, we have the blessing of being able to see and be with each other for a few hours each Sabbath. But if you get a chance to go and visit with someone and have a longer visit and go and do something, go hiking or fishing or go over to someone's home for a cup of tea or help them garden, whatever it might be, to spend time with people and notice their examples and notice how they are. And always be learning so we can set a better example, because setting a good example is serving Christ. It's helping the church to be stronger. It's helping the church to be growing. You know, I think in the preteen camp, and some from the area went there, and their motto this year was, "Let your light shine." And that speaks directly to the setting a good example. And Matthew 5 is where Christ said that in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's a way of serving God by setting a good example and letting that light shine. There's another way I'd like to mention. And this was alluded to in the sermonette. It's very directly addressed in 1 John chapter 5. There are times when we need a brother. There are times when we need someone to help us. There are times when someone who knows us well can be a good help to us when no one else might be able to reach us. In 1 John 5 and verse 16, now, this doesn't happen often, but when it does, brethren, it's important that there be strength in the congregation to be able to help someone. It says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. That's, again, I think, prayer for the individual. Maybe it's even asking the individual, you know, how can I help? I see you're going through something now. I've been through something like that before myself. How can I help you? If you see a brother who's stumbling, you go to him, you help. And he, God, he will give him life for those who commit sin, not leading to death. Now, that's a big study. What is that sin that doesn't lead to death? It says there is sin leading to death. That's a good Bible study question if somebody wants to ask it sometime. I do not say that he should pray about that. You know, that's addressed in Matthew where it speaks of that God would forgive every sin and every blasphemy, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven. And there comes a time when you don't want to cross that line. And if you can save a brother, if you can go to him in time and help him to come back, well, that's serving Christ. You know, that's helping that puzzle to be filled in completely and not left with a blank. And so we can do that. There are many more, many, many more different ways that we can serve. And brethren, this is the homework I wanted to ask of you. I'd like you to just jot down at least three. There's probably 1,000. But find at least 3 ways that you can serve on a spiritual level others who are in the congregation. How can you do that? You know, I'll give you some hints and you can look them up. It would be in using every gift that we have. If we find a way to serve and take every opportunity to do good, to do our share, what are some ideas? We can forgive those who have sinned against us. We can be reconciled to our brother. We can strengthen others. We can encourage them. We can support the weak. We can comfort those who are mourning. We can build up others around us. We can fellowship on a spiritual level on the Sabbath day. We can speak spiritual things to each other. We can do things to help widows and the sick. You see, there are a lot of ideas. You could use one of those if you want, but you have to find a verse to put with it on your homework. And you're not turning it into me, but I want you to look in the scripture and find it for yourself. Let's look in conclusion at 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter 4, in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Soon there will be the unveiling of that great and glorious kingdom. Soon there will be every name written in the book of life. Not just a piece of artwork with people's names on it. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We want to be that way, brethren, so that we are growing. We are being able to be equipped for those works of service so that we may be there when all these things happen. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. This is giving us other ideas. You could put these with your homework if you'd like. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Why is that important? Hospitality is important because it gives us time with each other, to get to know each other, to help each other, to know how to pray for one another. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Serve with that gift that God has given you. Are you an encourager? Are you one who is generous? Or whatever that might be, serve in that way. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, this includes all of us, brethren, you're serving in every way, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Now, not on our own, Not saying that, hey, I'm good at this, I'm going to show you how. It's that I'm blessed by God to be able to serve this way. Would you let me help? Can I help you? What do you need? How can I help? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. I like the way he points us to the future. I like the way he shows us that the end is near. Brethren, we are part of something much bigger than ourselves. And soon the King will come. Soon the picture will be complete. And soon the small part that we contribute will be added to that completed mosaic of work. Brethren, let us serve the Lord Christ as we see in his word, by diligently using the gifts that Christ has given to us to become equipped for works of service. That means we're growing stronger in the ability to serve, to be joined and knit together, closely bond together by what each one of us supplies for all the others around us, with each one, every part doing its share. And the result will be the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We have a great future to look forward to. What a blessing that we can all contribute a little bit toward that. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Look forward to seeing you next Sabbath.